Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Good luck with Zach Wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's next, and that's not going to be easy. And
no.
The Phillies are struggling. I think they can bounce back after a loss.
Driving to right, deep. It's got a chance. Gone. The pitch to Hap. Drilled in the air. Deep left field. It's got a chance. Gone. Long home run for Ian Happ, and just like that, this ball game is tied.
And I do expect them to do better today, and I do expect them to do well in this series because, in part, of how Philadelphia is playing.
Definitely no.
Here's a drive down the right field line. That's a base hit up against the wall. Rounding third and scoring is Tucker. It's a double for Pete Crow Armstrong, and the Cubs lead 3-2.
But
and the pitch. Line to right, a base hit toward the corner. This will tie the game. The 1-0 to Brendan Marsh. And he'll drive one to center. This is going to end the ball game. Back toward the wall and off the wall. And the Phillies have beaten the Cubs in 11 innings by a score of 4-3.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
It was a little bit of a strange game.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It was a little bit of a strange game, Craig Counsell. The Cubs finding a way to lose last night in extra innings. You had to be a little bit bummed, Mr. David, unless you got caught up in the hockey. Although the hockey had to make you a little bit bummed, too, because that was the first non-competitive game of the season.
Morning, Mully. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, it went from bad to worse.
Yeah.
It went from bad to worse. Cubs, very disappointing and frustrating. You turn on the hockey, it's already out of hand. I was flipping back and forth. Oilers didn't show up. Brad Marchand made history scoring early in that game after winning the last one, and enough of that. But, yeah, the Cubs were frustrating, and I felt about the way Craig Counsell felt when he was ejected for the second straight game. He was ejected. I was dejected. Cubs lose.
I did feel like you had called him a man with a very punchable face, and it proved to be the accurate.
Marchand?
Yes.
Yes, he does. He has the most punchable face in hockey.
And someone tried to punch his face.
You think I'm alone in that thought?
No. No, apparently
the Oilers apparently agree. Yeah. That was a non-competitive game.
It was
the first one of the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
The first one I can remember watching from a playoffs perspective, that it wasn't even close. And you knew that they weren't coming back.
No, especially with, Connor McDavid took like a bad fall on the ice. It was just an awkward
Looked like he got
play.
Hurt.
Looked like he was hurt.
You'll never know it.
No,
you'll never hear
a word about it.
But he's probably, this is the kind of thing if after the series ends, a day later, it's like,
yeah,
Connor McDavid will undergo reconstructive knee surgery.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He played the last 2 weeks with a torn ligament.
I may need a little of that as long as we're on the subject. We'll see. You're not alone.
Reconstructive surgery?
Well.
Or just some medical attention?
Just a quick procedure,
okay,
hopefully.
There we go. Let's hope that's not too...
Had a bad moment yesterday.
Uh-oh.
It'll be all right.
That's good. You want to talk about it?
Mm-mm.
You all right? No, okay. That's good. You going to make it?
No. I'm not doing too well.
So you felt the Oilers' pain last night, along with every Cub fan.
Yeah.
The Sox didn't lose, but you still felt the pain.
The Sox are bringing up Grant Taylor.
Yes, they are.
He's got the greatest arm ever seen by man.
Well, I think we need to temper some enthusiasm. It is exciting.
No temper.
It is exciting. You don't want to put expectations on a young pitcher outsized. Just be perfect.
That's all.
Just be.
He has the greatest arm ever.
We've heard Emmanuel Clase.
Yes.
Mariano Rivera.
That's all. Match them.
Brian Bannister, the White Sox head of pitching.
Said he's got one of the best arms he's ever seen.
Made some lofty comparisons.
I mean, what the heck is that? He must mean it.
He's not coming up here to start.
They're bringing him up from Double A. I mean, it's like they moved him out of the rotation and said, wow, this electric arm, we should take a look at this. And then they said, we should take a look at this at the major league level.
I like it, though, because...
I'm all for it.
If you believe that you can now get a lead, it's great that you're trying to protect one.
Now you might be able to... Yeah, now, what a shocker.
Bring up a guy who fits the profile of your closer. Now, that's us projecting a lot. I don't think I've ever heard them say... That he's going to fit into that role, but
I've heard them say it. I heard Barfield.
This soon, though.
But Stoney asked Josh Barfield.
I remember that interview.
Who?
It was an excellent interview.
He asked him, "Hey, do you have any arms down there?" And he brought this kid up as a future closer. Now, the future may be 7 o'clock tonight.
The future is now.
The future could be at 9.
I like that because that tends to be how we look at things. Asked and answered. Here you go. This is the White Sox responding to an obvious situation. That seldom happens, though.
Yes.
Right?
How they
That seldom happens. It's like you never get the guy promoted when you think he should be. You never get the guy benched when you think he should be. This seems to be like the White Sox responding to a need. And a public want.
A pretty quick promotion for a young man. But then again, I know we had a bit of an issue, an injury, but I believe that he played with Paul Skeens, and Skeens said, oh, your stuff will play in the major leagues.
Yes, he is a college teammate of Paul Skeens, who will be pitching at Wrigley Field, or scheduled to pitch Friday in front of Dustin and the Cub fans. Against Cade Horton. So if you're an LSU fan living in Chicago, what a treat this week is for you.
How about Dustin, we found out yesterday, on a work trip to Wrigley.
Excellent.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think it's excellent versatility. He's a valuable guy.
Why was he hiding that?
I don't think he was hiding it.
Why
would you hide
us?
The fact that you're going to do the pre and post game?
Because it was going to become a thing.
Why would you call immediately? You're trying to low profile it?
Low profile.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I think it's great.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. It's a great opportunity. I thank Mitch and Ryan for giving me the opportunity, but a little bit of pressure.
You'll do a terrific job. Skeens versus Horton. That's going to be a great matchup. And it's Friday at Wrigley Field, so it will be definitely one of those great summer Fridays.
I always think of Shakespeare when I hear that idea of the poor player who struts and frets his moment on stage and then is heard of no more. Don't be the poor player. You're there. You're going to do a great job. And who knows? maybe that's where your life turns. This could be it.
That went through your mind when you heard Dustin's doing
maybe
the
secretly Willie's hoping I do a good job to remove mood from
when
the show.
When I just heard him say anxiety and nervousness, yeah. I'm like that. You know, I love the idea of reminding yourself that you are playing a role in the giant pageantry that is, I'll spit it out, that is life. Just do your role. You don't have to go out there. You don't have to be Olivier. You don't have to be Zach. Just do the role they're asking of you, and you will do wonderfully.
Or you could go Shakespeare or Tom Thibodeau. Do your job.
That's it. That's
do
exactly
your job.
That's it.
Same thing. Same thing.
That'll be more easily remembered when I get the green light.
Do your job? Yeah. That's a tough. But it's not an easy job, though. I think there's an assumption that because you are, you know, it's the pregame, it's the postgame, but there's a lot of machinery involved, and you'll do it well because you're a radio pro.
You're going to get up there, you're going to say, "Good morning, Chicago!" And then, wait a minute.
Like, I think I'll have to go afternoon
at that point. Cubs, Pat, Ron, next.
This is the biggest pressure now since we're talking about it. This is the biggest pressure that you should feel while you're talking about acknowledging the pressure.
You shouldn't feel any.
No.
None.
If you want to put pressure on yourself, this is what Zach does a tremendous job of each and every game, which is why the pregame show is so terrific. He sets the stage, the context that he provides every game. You know exactly what happened and where the Cubs are and what this day means. And that's the most important 30 seconds of the pregame show, is that when you start it, he tells you exactly what is going to happen or what the stakes are.
You don't even have to write it down. I can just tell you what it is. Tonight, Paul Skenes, future Cub. They're going to go get him because he'll never stay in Pittsburgh.
Future.
You mean future Sox.
Oh, see? Look at that. See? Look at that.
I like the way he's thinking.
Now you got
You can't have Tucker and Skenes, so you got to pick one.
They're not getting Tucker. So they won't have enough money yet. The fun drive will still be beginning when Kyle Tucker's available. By the time Paul Skenes is available, maybe they will have raised enough money or be liquid enough.
Oh, what's funny? I thought he was talking about the Cubs. He's talking about the White Sox. When he said, "You're not going to get Tucker," I thought, you're really making a joke.
No, that's the White Sox.
He's talking. He wasn't talking about the Cubs. So
I was
Cubs,
talking about the Sox, too. Yeah.
Oh, no. David, though.
Nope.
It was talking about the White Sox, not the Cubs.
Not the Cubs.
That is
Cubs can still get Tucker. Cubs can still be in the,
I think he's headed to the South Side.
We'll see. We'll see.
He's going to drive by a certain mansion somewhere up north.
I think Kyle Tucker's future also depends on the context of the offseason whenever it arrives.
Ooh.
Whether it's the first week in October or the last week in October or the first week in November, whenever it arrives. Kyle Tucker's fate has yet to be determined, I think, because there's still a lot of season left.
Because guys aren't getting on base anymore, so his home runs are suddenly solos.
Well, that's a question that's worth addressing throughout the show today, because the Cub offense has been disappointing the last week or so. And it's the one that we've been talking about with such glowing terms and descriptors. But right now, it's home run or bust.
Well, I did see, and Dustin, I'm sure you'd be fascinated to hear, that the Cubs, I believe it was the Saturday game, the victory they had in Detroit, that came without a run scored with a runner in scoring position. That's insane to me. That hasn't happened since 2016.
That's a wild stat.
I had to remember the game and think about, oh my God, like there was nobody. They didn't get a hit with a runner on scoring position because there was no one on base. It was just crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy to think
the
that.
The most runs since 2016.
Yeah.
Now I almost have to apologize to Craig Counsell because I was a little upset with him for being upset about the way they won the game on Saturday. And if they would have somehow won the game last night, it would have been similar with the home runs, right?
Yes.
Two solo shots. Right.
I
mean, the Phillies had 16 hits, I believe, in the game last night.
That's crazy. You know,
and the Cubs had like four hits.
Five.
Two home runs.
Yeah. Five hits, two homers.
Yeah.
This Phillies, 16 hits. Castellanos had three. Kemp had three. Wasn't that his first three hits of his career?
He could still be in right field for the Cubs, by the way.
They have been.
That was a long time ago.
It was, but he.
Would you want him in right field instead of Tuck?
I didn't say that, but he just always has been a problem for the Cubs ever since he left and went to Philly.
Yeah, he has been. He's found a home there.
They haven't done well with runners in scoring position over the last week. That's all I'm going to say.
And it was a stat. It was a stat that had haunted them for like the last 2 years.
Yes.
This
and
year,
they,
it's been
they
very
got rid
good.
Of it.
Right.
Yes.
They've been very good.
Yes.
But
this is what I think is going to be hard to resist for some Cub fans, critical Cub fans. This idea that now the Cubs have lost three of four to two teams that are playoff caliber teams. And already you begin to see some things creep online in the discussion. The Cubs, now that they're in this part of their schedule, they can't beat good teams, which disqualifies the first month of the season or ignores it.
Yep.
Because I don't believe that, actually. I just think that sometimes this is a long season, and it is tempting to overreact to these kinds of outcomes because it's so frustrating. Because when they scored in the extra innings, you're like, yes, okay, they found a way. And then they give up the lead in the bottom of the inning, and you're like, oh God, three out of four now.
But I mean, they
can beat good teams, though.
The PCA double, and then he advances to third. That Dansby Swanson at bat is the one, you know, where he struck out. That's the one where you want that one back. That run, that would have helped them as things turned down.
Well, frankly, Swanson is one of the handful of guys who
has been struggling over
the last week, though.
Oh,
he was a guy that when they were rolling was hitting at a high level and had a resurgent kind of. But you look at his numbers over the last 10 days or 7 to 10 days, and like Carson Kelly and Dansby Swanson,
right.
They're struggling right now.
I thought when Ian Happ hit the home run in the eighth, I thought that was just like a huge moment where they weren't going to be kind of shut down by a pitcher. You weren't going to look back and think. I thought that was a clutch tying of the game. And I really did think when they scored a run in the 11th that was that. But as it turned out, you needed the extra run.
You needed the extra run. You did. And it was nice to see Ian Happ come through in the clutch like that,
going
deep.
It's great.
Because I think his power numbers are probably things that you would look at. I wonder how long this slump will last for some of these guys and what you do with a Carson Kelly who may just be at the point of the season where things start to level out a little bit.
Right.
His first 6 weeks
were unbelievable.
Yeah. First 2 months were just unbelievable. Playing at an all-star level, and he's not an all-star catcher.
No.
He's a good guy to have on your team, and he's here for a reason. By the way, nice story in the Sun-Times by Matty Lee. I didn't realize that Matthew Boyd and Carson Kelly had kind of a shared past going back to Oregon and college and a recruiting trip and all that stuff.
It was good.
It was good, and he's an asset, but he's got to start hitting again.
Yeah.
But they did at least drop him in the lineup, so he was batting seventh last night. But watching that game as closely as you guys were last night, he, in my opinion, is an excellent receiver, an excellent framer. He does a fantastic – he gets some strikes that would be – he does a very nice job manipulating that strike zone with his mitt and ripping balls into the back into the zone and things like that.
I think that's why he's been in the league for as long as he has been.
He does a really nice job.
Will you miss that ability when the robot umpires come in?
You know, speaking of that, there are some interesting thoughts from Nico Hoerner yesterday, even with – the ejection that he went through, you know, air quote, arguing balls and strikes, whether you want to call that an argument or
you're
not.
You're having a bad day.
He is not a fan, and he does not believe his teammates are a fan, something we might want to listen to later on.
Of robot umpires?
Yeah, he's not on board with that, despite the fact that, you know, was just thrown out by an overzealous umpire.
Well, I think that when you say the term robot umpires, sometimes I think you need to – not you specifically. I think that the conversation needs to be a little bit more specific in that, do you mean robot umpires, you're replacing the men on the field who are there to preside over everything? Or do you mean as a checks and balance system to be challenged if you need to challenge a call?
You know, I mean, if you're going to a checks and balances system, then these guys are going to have to be perfect. If they're not perfect, the one mistake they make is going to – I just don't know that I like that. I think that slows down the game. I think all the good stuff they've done improving the game – I get it. There's nothing more frustrating. And if you gave – you know, if you gave one at-bat, in other words, three pitches, maybe – that would be a way of combating any mistakes, but I just think you're going to run into second guessing, you know, personality stuff. I don't know.
The challenge system would have to be refined, certainly, because yes. You don't want games to drag on,
and
it would defeat the purpose of having the pitch clock and other changes that have made the game move quicker.
There was a double play yesterday where you felt like they made the wrong call, that he was out, and it showed that on the replay. And then they went, they took their time, mm-hmm. and they looked at it, and they stuck with
it. I know, I couldn't believe that.
I was just like
what are you watching?
Well, that was a wonderful waste of time.
What are we
watching? It just tells you, whatever they call on the field, they're going to lean toward, and they're going
to... Because it has to be indisputable, indisputable evidence.
But didn't that seem disputable?
That was totally,
I was like, oh, they got one.
I was like, that's totally going to be overturned.
I totally
agree. And it happens in real time. It's hard, the bang-bang nature of these plays. But then when they reviewed it, and it seemed to take too long... It always seems to take too long.
It always takes too long.
But I just was surprised at that, because they have this
totally
in place.
It just made me feel... Like no matter what you see, they're never going to overturn a call.
No, I know.
It's just not going to happen. That's too close.
It's
that
maddening.
Pitch. Yeah, it's a little bit low, but it's too close. We're not going to overturn it. I don't know that it would help you watch the game.
That's a fair comment.
I just don't know.
I thought that Nico Horner was tremendously professional in his interview on the afternoon show. By the way, Mark Grody and Dan Weider, that was good radio. And those guys talk to Nico. They don't talk to him on a regular basis, but Nico Horner, really relaxed, really, I think it was pretty good in talking about all these things.
Yeah, I agree. He's a bright guy. We know that. Well-spoken guy. And, it just takes me back to that play where, wow, how do you throw Nico out? Like, because the minute he turned around, like, you knew he didn't say anything.
It
nasty.
Almost seemed personal.
He's never going to say any magic words.
No, I don't think so. Last night also reminded us that, speaking of guys who...
Not get thrown out,
but guys in that infield, Matt Shaw is developing into a really good, above-average defensive third baseman.
He has solved that portion of the program.
He's doing
fine at the plate, but he is good. He's a good third baseman. He made a couple of excellent plays, and they got how many double plays did they get? They got out of some jams with that.
Let's find out how many double plays they had. They had several that made a big difference. I'm just trying to find out.
Felt like they did pretty good.
They had that one that was key with started at third base. And it was third. Yeah, and Matt Shaw makes the tough play. And that was a question coming into the season because he's playing a new position. And he's just – you look at the Cubs. I think – I forget where I saw this. There were three double plays last night.
Yeah.
You look at the Cubs lineup 1 through 9, and you, throughout the defensive – how many first-round draft picks they have?
Yeah.
I think every position at one point in time was a guy with a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, three double plays, two putouts, and I think it was it 4 or 5 consecutive innings the Phillies had a leadoff hit – and they weren't able to cash in. So as good as Matthew Boyd was, and he was good overall for a guy that didn't have a strikeout last night.
He didn't have a single strikeout.
That pickoff killed him.
In that kind of a game, right? Let me ask you, shouldn't that be an earned run? He made the mistake.
Thank you. I didn't think the pregame show was the place to do that, but yes, that drives me. You know what? Crazy. That is an earned run.
Why is that? You made the mistake. It was his error.
It was his error and throw. It wasn't Michael Bush's fault that the ball got away.
It was Matthew Boyd's fault.
Right,
but it was a fielding error.
But it's two runs and one earned, like one only one earned.
Mm-hmm.
He made the error. It should be on him. He should wear it.
But that's. Earned runs measure pitching effectiveness, not fielding effectiveness.
But he's the pitcher.
I know, but
it's the fielder in this case.
It's an error.
Yeah, but
all errors are created equal.
Yeah, I just feel like when the pitcher makes the error, he shouldn't get a break on the run.
Well, as usual, I guess you and I disagree, David.
It's not as usual. I'm not trying to be argumentative.
I didn't say you were.
I think that's probably...
I just think it might be some... Those might be the rules of baseball.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not
perfect. Oh, I know the rules.
Right. Sometimes they're not perfect. I agree with you, Mully. I thought the same thing.
By the way, maybe we can agree on this then. Hidden in that game yesterday was a very, very encouraging inning from Ryan Pressly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
his velocity,
95,
his velo, as the kids say, was up.
It was at 95. Now Palencia's velo was at 101.
Yikes.
But then
that's Grant Taylor territory.
Then you wanted the second inning out of him.
I don't mind that.
That's greedy. You know how I know?
How?
Didn't work.
It didn't work. Okay.
Lost the game.
How about that bullpen, though? For the last month, that bullpen has been lights out.
Did he get an out in the 11th inning? They didn't get it out.
Okay.
Right?
No, okay, you're right. You're
just
right.
Saying.
I know.
That's how you know you went one inning too many.
You know.
No outs.
Okay.
All right, we got so much to get to. We got the pick six. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the screen.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sure. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you like most about the Cubs' extra inning battle with the Phillies? Was PCA's double in the 11th or solo home runs from Tucker and Happ? Or are you a pitching guy from starter Matthew Boyd to Ryan Pressly pitching out of a jam and hitting 95 on the gun, or Daniel Palencia topping out at 101? What did you like most?
Yeah, you know, I think I like the home runs most. I like when they hit home runs. I just try to remind myself that they needed more runs and they needed to get more guys on base. And it felt like, you know, neither team was getting big hits, but the Phillies had a lot of guys on base and the Cubs didn't. So, you know, like I said, I think of all the things that happened in the game, it's just the way it turned out. I thought Ian Happ's home run was the best moment. Big moment for him. Big, you know, at bat. You get a you tie the game and put them in a position to win the game. Maybe PCA's double. Maybe that was as good as anything else you saw. But it just wasn't enough, and it's kind of upsetting. I love the idea that that Ryan Pressly was hitting 95. I mean, I thought he was having a pretty bad inning, and then all of a sudden he reached back and he had something else. So that's probably a good sign.
It's going to be the PCA double in the 11th, and the reason is not just because I've been on that PCA bandwagon, because it was the run that put them up, and they finally got a clutch hit in that game with somebody on base, and he gave the Cubs an opportunity to win that game. Then he gets to third, and I think that's the other part of this that I'd like to add on, because again, same thing, he gets on base and he gets in the mind of the pitcher catcher combo, and the pitcher for the Phillies at that time just literally buried a ball that the catcher had no shot in getting.
Yep.
So now he's at third.
Right.
He's at third, and they can't get him in.
I thought he was getting it. I thought that was a lock, right? He was coming in.
And that ended up being so, so costly. So PCA delivering in the extra innings, and he smoked that ball.
Clutch hitter. No doubt about it. Clutch hitter. But what did I like most about the extra innings loss to the Phillies? Nothing. Nothing. I was watching this game like everybody else, thinking that they needed this. It would be a good comeback. Only two home runs and five hits overall. What's going on with the offense? And there were some bright spots. And Pressly hitting 95, good. Plenty is going to always hit triple digits if he's in the game with on the line. Ian Happ has a clutch homer. Matthew Boyd was good enough, regardless of how many earned runs we decided he deserved. But there was nothing to like about that Cub game, because it was against the Phillies, a playoff team, and it was a close game down the stretch, and the Cubs lost. And they, I don't want to say found a way to lose that game, but certainly the Phillies found a way to win it. And I am not going to overreact to three losses in four games, but this is a Cub team that now, when you talk about big picture-wise, when they face good pitchers lately, they lose. Skubal, Flaherty, Wheeler, you go back, Mackenzie Gore. How about Andy Abbott from the Reds? It's not been a good 10 days. So I liked nothing about Monday night.
What about Matt Shaw's defense?
Nope.
I thought even that now, see, there's,
I thought that would, I thought he would melt.
That's where I thought he was going to go.
And I like Matt Shaw.
The good news is as soon as he made that play to end that inning, I immediately thought of you.
I know.
Immediately.
Well,
I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I honestly felt like it's fun when he plays well, because of that. That's a player you thought that was breaking camp with the Cubs in Arizona.
Yeah.
So when you just asked that question, I started racking my brain. Off the top of my head, I don't even know.
That's the voice of Tommy Hotovy. We're lucky enough to talk to him today at 9 o'clock. What happened to the Cubs offense? Supposedly the quote-unquote best in baseball. Not that long ago, but recently shut out twice in the last week and struggling to get really anything going last night in Philly. Do they need to shake things up? And if so, how?
Well, I think they do need to shake things up. And I don't think that's an overreaction. Already we have seen, I don't consider moving Carson Kelly down a couple spots in the order shaking things up. I think that's grasping the obvious. Carson Kelly is not a cleanup hitter. Carson Kelly is a guy that has had a tremendous first 2 months of the season. But I don't believe that you're going to win many games with him batting fourth or fifth. So good, put him seventh. That's where he belongs. I would maybe consider, if this continues, and it's gone on long enough. I mean, it really has. 10 days is long enough. They've been shut out twice in the last week. Last night, they get two home runs and five hits. and they lose Sunday and they score one run. So, yeah, it's gone on long enough. Start leading off PCA. Pete Crow Armstrong, not fourth. Bat him at the top of the order. Give me PCA Tucker Suzuki. 1-2-3. Get as many at-bats for those three guys as possible. And then everyone else falls in line behind them. Oh, by the way, keep playing Michael Bush against lefties. Don't go back to that. He's going to be, if he's your first baseman in a playoff setting, treat every series like a playoff series. He should be the everyday first baseman. And then you can do the rest at the bottom of the lineup as Craig Counsell chooses. But I do think you should maybe start to consider a little bit of tweaking here and there, because this historically good offense, or at least it was for the first up until 10 days ago, has hit a little bit of a dry spell.
Speaking of Craig Counsell, on today at 2:30 with the Spiegel and Holmes show. 2:30, Craig Counsell today. We'll see if they ask him about shaking things up. So, David, just really quick, and I don't totally disagree, but just so would you, if you're moving PCA up to one, is Ian Happ now your cleanup hitter in that scenario?
Fourth or fifth? I'd bat him fifth. I might go Bush fourth.
Okay.
Because I might go Bush fourth and then Happ fifth with a little bit more flexibility from either side of the plate. So you're going, you have two lefties at the top of the order, but you have Suzuki, then Bush, then Happ.
I'm flip-flopping Suzuki and PCA. I'm wondering the approach pitchers would take with Tucker, with PCA protecting him. And not that Suzuki's been very good as well, but PCA's been better, right? PCA's better than Suzuki. So I just might do that. I might move PCA up one spot in the top third. I don't know that he's ready yet. I think leading off is a whole nother animal. His approach is not always fantastic, PCA.
I get that.
So that's why I think
you're not scoring runs.
Right, but that's why I'd move him third.
I here's a little addendum. Maybe you go PCA Suzuki Tucker. So you mix up the left, right, left.
It's curious that the guy that had one of the bigger hits in the game has to be moved in the lineup. I'm just curious.
Are you asking me why I hate Ian Happ?
It's a strange
reaction. I don't hate Ian Happ.
I think what's happened is the bottom part of the lineup was producing all these runs.
Yeah.
And was doing really
and
well.
And that's gone a little quiet,
and that's
right?
gone a little quiet. Yeah. And I think that the top part of the lineup, all the guys we're talking about are all doing pretty good. Like, I think Seiya's doing pretty good. I think, PCA's as good as anybody on the team. I kind of like the lineup. I don't hate their lineup. I think their offense is what's separated them from other teams. They maybe don't play so many good pitchers. Could you figure that out?
They're not going anywhere.
That might be what's really going on.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you're going to run into that every once in a while. I think that's kind of what's happened to them. But I don't know that I'm making like a dramatic made-up word.
You're not worried about the Cub offense.
And drastic.
Mick Abel tonight.
I think that they faced really good pitching in Detroit, and the game that they won, it was super bizarre statistic where they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. It was kind of crazy. Who's going tonight?
Mick Abel. And let's hope he's not.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe tonight will be a lot easier.
I understand the question.
Craig Counsell was ejected for the second straight game last night. What do you think this is? Is this a negative or a positive or a neutral? Again, Craig Counsell on today, afternoon show, 2:30.
I can't believe he got ejected two games in a row. I mean, it's been like Dustin's pet peeve that the guy doesn't get ejected. And now he's getting ejected, and I don't think it's helped at all. I don't feel like they won either game he was ejected from. So it's hard for me to say, wow, thank God the guy got himself thrown out. It was weird. He got a quick hook there. He was clearly flustered because he was trying to he wanted to make a point. He wanted him to look at something, and he got thrown out. But just by walking up to the guy. So I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong, But I don't think that there's that his name is Mud or anything. Everybody's looking for a way to toss him. It's just an oddity. I think it's just weird timing. I honestly don't think he's going to get thrown out tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that he would get thrown out tonight, but I do like the pulse. I do like – but again, the key thing, Mully, I think you just said it. Like, it was a very – it was almost quicker than what happened to Nico the day before.
Yeah.
I don't think he said anything with the foul – like, foul language. I don't think he touched the umpire, which, of course, would get you automatically ejected. Just the, like, that umpire was like, we are in a brisk game right here. Go back. Like, that's how it felt. Like, you're not going to ruin this. We're not allowing you to ruin it. I just don't get it. And then the idea that the ump then tells him in the explanation, well, if Michael Bush hadn't had the ball in his glove, I'd have called him out. Wait a minute, what? Like, I mean, you know, like, that's crazy. I'm not going to sit here and blame Michael Bush for fielding a ball.
No.
Right? You want, so, but I'm just saying, the idea that if Michael Bush had not fielded the ball,
it is.
Then the batter would have been out.
It is absurd.
That's ridiculous. That's why I think it was a good thing. And then when did Ian Happ hit the home run?
Eighth inning.
Okay, when was Craig Counsell ejected? Earlier. So yep. I can't say that it has
a correlation.
You think
it's cause effect?
Maybe. Wake up, guys. Let's go. Maybe. I got a pulse. You should, too.
I think we're going to have to find a way, if I were covering Craig Counsell for a publication, how do you quote his deep sighs before every answer? Because they are exasperation defined. It's like he takes a deep breath and he's like, oh, my gosh, I have to answer this. It is funny to listen to. I don't believe that there's a cause and effect between a manager getting ejected and a guy hitting a home run. I would like to believe that. I don't think it's valid. I do think that it's just coincidence that Craig Counsell has had two in a row back-to-back. The problem last night, unlike on Sunday when he was defending his player, I think last night he was trying to argue logic. And it, logically speaking, what you just described is true. That made no sense. Michael Bush should have let the ball sail past him, not caught it, and because then he would have had a better, more valid argument. So Craig Counsell's trying to make sense with the nonsensical. And so instead of putting up with it, the umpire ejected him, which is amusing. I don't know if there's ever been a manager ejected two straight games. I'm sure there has been. I'm sure. You
there
think?
Have to have been.
I don't know.
No, quite.
It's pretty rare.
David, back
Let's
in
get
the
Chris
day,
Kampka on this.
I would tell you that I can think of managers who got thrown out of the game, and the next day they got thrown out because they got thrown out the game
before.
Well,
okay, then I want to know how often it happens.
I think the three-peat would be the curious.
The three-peat,
the
would,
three-peat
be
would be awesome.
There's only four managers in baseball right now that have been ejected more than Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell, active managers. Of active managers, Craig Counsell is fifth. It was his 33rd ejection last night. Bruce Bochy, 87 times.
Wow.
Bob Melvin, 65. Terry Francona, 51. Aaron Boone, 41. Craig Counsell, 33.
What?
That's another really good question.
How fired up are you to learn the White Sox are calling up their reliever Grant Taylor per friend of the program, James Fox? Taylor is the team's number 6 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline. How about the fact that he posted a 1.01 ERA, 37 Ks in 26.2 innings in Double A?
Those numbers speak of a dominant pitcher. And Grant Taylor was dominating Double A hitters. Grant Taylor was dominating so much that he caught the eye of Brian Bannister, who's watching every pitch and every outing closer than we are. And when Brian Bannister will listen to what he had to say and remind people how high he was on Grant Taylor a couple weeks ago, maybe just a week ago when he was on this radio station, comparing him to some great relievers, this is exciting.
Yeah.
This is the latest exciting news with the White Sox bringing up a prospect. Kyle Teal last week, Tim Elko before that, now Grant Taylor. Let's hope that they have a lead to protect, but if they do, I can't wait for the first time. It's 4-2 in the ninth inning, and they say, here's the ball, kid. Go save a game.
I agree with what you said, David. I think it's really cool that they're bringing a guy up, and they've been in some close games. They've had leads, and they've let the leads get away. And good for James Fox for breaking the story. Good for him.
Yeah, congratulations to James for breaking the story. He does a great job, and I really enjoy his work. So congratulations to him. Grant Taylor, you know, it's wild to me that he's already on this track. He's already someone that they have decided, nope, you know, reliever, don't worry about trying to get innings out of him. Don't worry about trying. Like, they've already determined, and frankly, with a guy like this, when you hear what was said about him and how good his arm is, basically they're saying he's the closer.
Yes.
You know, whether it's in the future or it's by the end of the year and another month by the All-Star break. I mean, use him in that role, man. I like the idea that they're going to try to get all the bullets at the major league level because he shows he's got some superiority. So I love that. But, it's kind of wild. I mean, it's just... it's cool that they're bringing him up and they're letting him do it. And he's a young cat and he should be here for a while. I'm on board with it. I love it. Let's see him. Let's go get him in there and let's see him close the game. Let's go.
Different question on a different topic.
Voice of Mike Florio joining Mully and Haw at 8:44 this morning. Dan Orlovsky of the Four Letter Network believes Caleb Williams is under more pressure than any quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, I don't think there's a quarterback in the NFL under more pressure than Caleb Williams. The expectations are remarkably high. Ben Johnson, so you imagine like what Sean McVay was for Jared Goff when he went there, or what Mike McDaniel was for Tua when he went there. You can make the case that Caleb's more physically talented than those two guys. And so this is an offensive line that's going to be much improved. They've got guys to throw the football to by the dozens, it feels like, and a scheme that gets every quarterback to play well. Under Ben Johnson in Detroit, they scored 177 touchdowns and punted 154 times. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, like, the expectations should be exponentially high, and Caleb has to meet them.
Do you agree with Dan Orlovsky?
I think Dan Orlovsky should be under more pressure, frankly. Listen, he's an NFL quarterback. They're all under pressure. I get it. I think that all the things that we're talking about are positives. You know, you're not under pressure because your offensive line is better. And boy, somebody at Pro Football Focus loves the Bears. Did you see that their guard tandem was ranked second in the NFL? In the entire league, 32 teams, they have the best guard tandem? That might be a little bit over your skis there. Well, can we watch them play together and make sure everybody's healthy? Love it. I think he won't get sacked as much because he's got better coaching. He's got better protection. He should be better. I'm not sure he had much help a year ago. I think I think they've done a lot to improve the people around him. I think it's up to him to be able to distribute the ball and get rid of the ball quicker. And he's got things that he's responsible for. But the guy didn't throw a lot of picks. He's made some pretty decent decisions. I just don't agree with it. I think that people that have nothing are under more pressure. People that don't get help. You know, last year, I feel like he was under a lot more pressure as the number one overall pick in a draft, going into a place that doesn't know what to do with a quarterback, that hired the wrong coordinator and had the wrong head coach for him. I think there are all those things seem like they've changed in the positive. So I'm not sure I agree with the idea. Does he have pressure on him? Absolutely. Does he have to be better? No shadow of a doubt. Are the excuses gone? Okay, maybe that's what you consider pressure, but I don't think I agree with that. I don't think he's the most pressurized quarterback in the league.
Well, he's the quarterback that I care about most in the league because he quarterbacks my favorite team in the league. There are no more excuses, and I think part of this might be the book, right? We got the excerpts from the book, maybe not, but that adds to it. So Caleb didn't run from it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, had some questions about the Bears, but then I met with the Bears. I had the questions answered that I was concerned about. So, yeah, I mean, they have put all their resources on that side of the ball for the most part. I won't say they've ignored the defense. I'm not going to say that. But they have put – and the coach, they were able to get the most sought-after coaching candidate available, I believe. I mean, Mike Vrabel might end up being the better, I don't know, leader of men. But I don't know that the – I think the Bears are probably – were in a better spot than the Patriots in this cycle when both teams were looking for a coach. Mm-hmm. I think Vrabel just fit better for obvious reasons. Having mm-hmm. played there didn't hurt. But I think – they also got a coach that's going to expect a lot. There's a lot of pressure. I could also just take out Caleb Williams' name and put Ben Johnson's name in there. That Ben Johnson might be under the most pressure.
Coach. Yeah, you're talking about coaches?
I'm saying he might be under this year because of the weapons and, you know, staying in the division. And
he gets kind of a pass.
Can he do it? You think he gets a pass?
Yeah, I think he gets – the pressure's different.
Okay.
I agree with Orlovsky. I don't think Dan Orlovsky is far off. I don't know if you want to say the most – pressure on any quarterback is Caleb Williams, but I understand the sentiment because I think that it exists and it's real. And there's not, I don't think for a guy that exaggerates a lot and I think watches a lot of film, I don't think Dan Orlovsky is as far off on this as he has been on other declarations because I think that Caleb Williams is, let's face it, one of the biggest reasons Ben Johnson is here. Also, coming off a season that was disappointing in terms of the expectations, were those expectations realistic? Maybe not. Maybe that's our fault, but it's his fault for not doing a better job of living up to them. He did have a pretty good year. It's been exaggerated how bad his year was, largely because of the expectations going in. He didn't have a terrible season. He had a disappointing season. There's a difference. As far as I think it's different in every market, and I think the market also dictates how much pressure a quarterback will feel. In Chicago, because of those expectations, because of the passion that exists, I do think that there's more pressure that's more palpable than in other NFL cities. I would also put on the list, and I think that we could debate this up until training camp and never run out of topics, but I think Brock Purdy with the contract in San Francisco has got a lot of pressure to live up to that deal. I think Dak Prescott, because he's a Dallas Cowboy quarterback who's never really achieved or lived up to expectations there for a lot of different reasons, has a lot of pressure. Trevor Lawrence, he's a symbol of unfulfilled potential down in Jacksonville. He's got his own set of pressure. C.J. Stroud really had a disappointing year, too. Is he healthy enough to do something about it in year three? So those are guys in Jordan Love.
What about the division? That's what I'm saying. You don't think J.J. McCarthy
J.J. McCarthy has pressure. I don't think it's as much as Caleb Williams.
Jordan Love has a lot of pressure. Goff has pressure on him because you know what? They didn't win the Super Bowl.
And they now he has
and
a guy
he's
that
lost the guy.
Many believe was a reason for his success. Now he's got to prove that it wasn't Ben Johnson. So it's a good conversation, but I don't think that Dan Orlovsky was that far off.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Did last night's game live up to the first two games of the Stanley Cup Finals? Hit real decline for Edmonton? What's your take on Connor McDavid's status?
It did not live up to the first two games. This question was intended to taunt me.
I don't think that was the case at all.
It's a very, very lopsided game three. And Brad Marchand scored the first goal after scoring the last goal. And then you wanted to punch him in the face even more. And the Oilers had had enough. And then it got a funny thing happened on the way to a hockey game. Fight broke out and all the things. The Oilers weren't ready for whatever reason. That's a tough place to play. That environment is just conducive to winning. You can feel the winning culture all over the place. So Panthers did what the Panthers do. And the Oilers have to regroup. And it looks like McDavid's hurt.
It does.
USA, USA, USA. The Oilers have a goaltending problem, David. They had a goaltending problem. I thought the
Oilers. They chased him.
Right. They chased him. And I love what McDavid had to say after the game. The four of us talked about it in our little pre-show get-together about that McDavid said, the best is yet to come. All right. That is big, large talk. And they've got 2 days sitting around in South Beach to figure things out and to try to get back in this thing. But if they go back to Edmonton okay? If they go back up to Edmonton down 3-1, I think there's going to be a big party on the way back from Edmonton to Florida. You know, you were talking about a 4 or 5 hour flight with the Stanley Cup, and there will be a lot of beer spilled on that airplane.
Would you, Dustin, would you call for a gentleman's sweep?
It's looking that way. I'm really worried about what the Oilers are going to do with goaltending. Let's put it this way. 6.5 in the next game. Last night's total was 6.5. If it's 6.5 on Thursday again, I think you might have to think about investing in over 6.5 goals.
Yeah, I was disappointed because I thought Edmonton would do better. And this has been a really hotly contested couple of games. And ultimately, Florida did what they wanted to do by winning game two, even in overtime and double overtime. But to go back and then just embarrass them, that was an embarrassment. You should be embarrassed. What was the final? 6-1. I'm sorry. That's like what would the equivalent be? Like 45-7, something like that. I mean, they got their heads beat in, and their best player was slowed down, and it'd be very curious to see if he's okay. He missed some shifts. How many penalty minutes they have?
Oh, my gosh.
They lost their composure.
They did.
Not only did they get beaten, but they lost their composure. And that, frankly, was the kind of game that, you know, when a team wins game three, that changes the conversation as to who's going to win the thing, etc. I would say they're definitely in the driver's seat, and it's difficult to play on the road, but Edmonton has to respond from that.
They have to respond.
They have to.
I don't have any tolerance for this talk of a gentleman's sweep. It's still going seven. It's still a competitive series.
You want more fighting? I mean, it was a gentleman.
No, I don't know where this gentleman's sweep term came from, but I don't like it at all. And I just think that, you know, and this has nothing to do, for the record, okay, this has nothing to do with patriotism, the fact that I picked the Oilers. Dustin's like, USA, USA. You think Florida's going to beat Edmonton because of, like, you're waving the flag in my face? That has nothing to do with the flag. This has something to do with hockey.
Did you see, speaking of patriotism, did you see what Coco Gauff had to say after winning the French Open? It was beautiful. We should get into that at some point.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
It was. I love the way she celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. All right. We've got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Four.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you make of Jed Hoyer's appearance on our guy John Heyman's podcast? Did you enjoy his explanation of how they acquired Pete Crow Armstrong in a trade for a rental player at the time, Javi Baez? Is it an important cautionary tale to remember at the trade deadline? Do you need to know the depth immediately and not trade a guy who promises while protecting players who might not be as good? What was the bitter lesson Rick Hahn talked about with his awful trade to Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Yeah, I enjoyed the Jed Hoyer and John Heyman conversation. It was really well done. Jed's as transparent as ever, and it's nice when he has a national stage and people can hear just how open he is about everything he does. The PCA recap was fun and open, and I think, yeah, it tells you just how when these trades are made, whether it's Rick Hahn reminiscing about Fernando Tatis or Jed confirming a lot of things about PCA, it tells you how tenuous it is, because you just don't know who you're trading could turn out to be. I'm sure the Mets regret trading Pete Crow Armstrong for a rental and Javi Baez. Maybe not as much as Rick Hahn regretted trading Fernando Tatis for James Shields, but these prospects, you just don't know what they're going to turn into. Which brings us to the modern day pressure that Jed Hoyer faces, and I know it's part of the discussion about what to do before the deadline. I like the fact that this idea of the Cubs going out and getting a top-of-the-line starting pitcher is becoming more of the conversation. It puts and keeps the pressure on Jed Hoyer to do just that. I like that Chris Sale being out there after striking out 11 guys last night. One of the first questions that Cub fans will have is, boy, wouldn't that look good on the north side? Would the Braves, if they keep falling further in the standings, be willing to trade him at the deadline? All these things are related, and that was a really good podcast.
Really good. We'll get to some audio of that later on the show, perhaps. The cautionary tale part is something that, you know, we were just having a conversation about during our last break, talking about Chris Sale coming to the Cubs and what exactly it might take to make that deal happen, and which lottery tickets, which scratch-offs, if you will, are you willing to go ahead and ship to Atlanta while they ship up a guy like Chris Sale. So, good job by our guy John Heyman, and good answers by Jed Hoyer. The other thing I loved about it is that Jed was not, like, all puffy-chested, you know, and said there definitely some luck involved.
Oh, yeah, said
in
it was
stuff.
Good fortune. You know, yeah, good fortune. No doubt about it.
So good for him.
What was super cool about it is he's on with a couple of New York baseball writers who know every player that was available and who they were talking about and how the whole thing went down. And I always find that fascinating. And I would say that in a way, I like the way that we're combining PCA with Fernando Tatis Jr. Because is he that level of player, right? That's the hope. If he's going to be a co-MVP favorite with Shohei Ohtani this year, then yeah, he's that kind of player. So he's been significantly better than they thought. And I think that the lesson might be, don't shy away from a guy that's blocked, from giving up a guy that's blocked because you're worried that that you're giving away too much. If you've got somebody ahead of someone else, then don't worry about it. And don't give up people that you don't have all the information on. whatever you do, the Cubs are in a totally different position now because they're looking to bolster their World Series hopes. And as we know from seeing Gleyber Torres just the other day, that if you win a World Series, you don't care who you lost. It doesn't bother you.
You really don't.
You don't. What the job is to win, and if you can get a guy that is good enough that you're going to win a World Series, then you're not going to spend 4 minutes worried about who. Exactly.
Come on now.
Who a guy turns out to be or what he does eventually. So I would say I would encourage the Cubs, and I would encourage Cub fans to remember that for those who want a lot, you got to give up a lot. It's as simple as that. And I would rather go after the biggest name I can get than try to settle for someone who is kind of a midland player but might be able to help us a bit. Go get the best guy on the market.
Yes.
Go get the closer you desperately have to have. Go get the starting pitcher that you must have. That's the lesson of this.
I'll have more of everything.
Thank you. So that's all I'm saying. Go for it.
Go for it.
Love it. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
The 1-0 to Brendan Marsh. And he'll drive one to center. This is going to end the ball game. Back toward the wall and off the wall. And the Phillies have beaten the Cubs in 11 innings by a score of 4-3.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Yeah.
Tough one.
That was a drag.
Tough one. Not going to overreact.
Oh,
I'm not going to overreact.
You already have. You've changed the lineup.
I didn't change the lineup. I didn't. I said that if they continue to struggle, that you would consider tweaking things and maybe shaking things up, as they say. I am going to always believe, until proven otherwise, that Pete Cor Armstrong is meant to hit leadoff by today's standards. And I'm always going to point to the fact that pretty good hitter out in L.A. leads off for the Dodgers.
I think you're being mean to Happ.
Yeah, I'm not. It's really not. It has anything to do with Ian Happ. It's more to do with Pete Cor Armstrong, MVP, as they were chanting Sunday in Detroit, or Saturday in Detroit, whenever it was in Detroit. But I do think that it follows him around, and it's going to continue if he keeps coming through in the clutch. He did last night again.
I'm with you. They need to have him in the lineup twice. That is accurate. I mean, he's that good.
He's that good.
So I understand what you're saying, but I think he's getting his at-bats. I think they're trying to get him to get as many at-bats as possible.
I don't think not leading off means
he's not going to be in the top three.
No, but I think at some point you have to look at the entirety of the order. And over the last 10 games, you know, the Cubs have I have to look at it closer, but I think it's the 8 games. They've been shut out twice.
It's really weird. Now, you know,
they scored one run on Sunday, and they didn't exactly. They had 5 hits last night, so they weren't hitting the cover off the ball.
No.
Hit 2 home runs, Tucker and Happ.
But who shut them out? It was, you know,
good pitchers.
Mackenzie Gore outing was as good an outing as we've seen in a long
time.
Scooble,
Flaherty
pitched great, but they scored on him.
Wheeler,
Flaherty was the other guy.
If we're going to routinely refer to the Cubs as one of the best teams in the National League, then they have to every now and then beat some of the best pitchers in the National League.
I agree, but I think they were awful close to doing that yesterday, and
awful close to get you beat.
Well, they got beat.
They got beat.
But,
you know, they haven't been clean either. They haven't been as
Zach Wheeler's been out, and he came out of his wife just had a kid. He was on leave, and he just came back. And that team had lost 5 games in a row. They needed that.
Yeah. They're going to be active at the deadline, too. They need a center fielder. You know any teams looking to move a center fielder?
Oh, boy.
I'm just saying.
And
that's a real thing.
Yeah. Listen. Yeah. Oh, boy.
No. Dave Dombrowski will be active at the deadline. Local guy made good. You talk about a local guy made good. He's headed to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Dave Dombrowski's had a really good career.
And he's going to be in the market for a center fielder. And so I wonder if by the trade deadline, Luis Robert Jr. can do anything to his season to revive it, to put himself in a position to be traded to a team like the Phillies, get something in return before they DFA him, as you put it yesterday.
Did I say that?
I think you posed that possibility.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't think things are working out quite as well as you'd think.
No, I don't.
If you could trade that guy, you said they might be looking for a center fielder, and I just kind of rolled my eyes. I don't know that he would be a guy anyone wants to trade for.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Still can steal a base.
He can run.
Plays tremendous outfield. Yep. He's a good defensive
maybe
outfielder.
Maybe he'd be revived if he wasn't playing for the
team. If he's in the middle of a pennant race with a new team, new lease on life.
Could
you
be juice.
Know. And if you could get something in return from a team, the White Sox have all kinds of prospects. They're promoting prospects. What time is it? Who's coming up today? Grant Taylor's news was yesterday. Kyle Teal was Friday. They're bringing up guys. Brooks Baldwin is hitting the cover off the ball down in AAA Charlotte.
I like Brooks Baldwin.
Maybe he's coming back to play second base until Colson Montgomery's ready.
But I don't know that he seems like maybe 4A player at best.
Maybe.
I like him, though.
Maybe. I think that
very
he was
clean-faced individual.
He showed. Did you say clean-faced?
Yes.
Well, shaven.
No, he's like, he just looks like a fresh-faced young lad.
He looks about 14.
He does.
The Sox have a couple prospects that look like they came straight from the Williamsport Little League World Series.
Is calling a guy
World
clean-faced, is that an insult?
No, it's not an insult.
I just
it's just
meant
amusing.
He just has, you know, I'm not sure he can grow whiskers.
I don't think he's old enough to.
Yeah.
That's the point.
No, he's old enough to.
They have some youthful-looking prospects.
He's very youthful-looking. That's a better way of saying
okay.
Clean-faced young man. 312-644-6767. How are you fixing the Cubs? What's the problem? What needs doing? And are you just going to kind of wait it out? Had they been doing too well with their offense this year? They can hurt you in different ways, though. What's good about
it. Yeah, it is good. And what do you think about Craig Counsell getting the thumb two games in a row?
I mean, would you pay money to see him go tonight? Would that be hilarious? I mean, just for no reason? Just someone just throws him out while he's standing in the dugout. It's not that bad. Everything's okay. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.